You're listening to MLB.com Extras, brought to you by MLB.tv. It's baseball everywhere.
It is December 13th. Matt Wehmeyer talking Reds baseball today with Mark Sheldon. But unlike previous podcasts, I've got Mark here in person in our Chelsea Market studios in New York City. And Mark is in for the holiday party. That's as good a reason as any to come to the Big Apple. Mark, how's it going?
It's going great. It's good to see where the magic happens, of course. So it's thank you for letting me come into your dojo here.
Of course. Well, thank you for allowing us to do a little sit-down fireside chat here as we talk all things Cincinnati Reds right now. And, Mark, let's go back to the recently completed winter meetings in Washington, D.C. No major deals for the Reds at those meetings. Was that, kind of by design, or are they in a position where they want to, you know, gauge the market and wait for some price tags to come down? What's their mentality right now?
That's half of it. I think they definitely wanted to gauge the market, see where the prices went. But I think the other half is they came to the winter meetings hoping they could find some takers to unclog their middle infield depth for Brandon Phillips and Zach Cozart. And they're finding that the needs and the demands for middle infield isn't really there right now, not just because of these particular players, but it's just like that league-wide. The Mariners may have been a fit for Cozart, but they traded for Gene Segura over Thanksgiving, and that kind of nullified one of the potential fits. So they have to sit on those guys for now and see what happens. On the other half, they're looking for some free agent relievers, and they want to see where the prices go. Obviously, they're not going to be swimming in the deep sea for the high-price guys. They're going to wait for some lower prices, and I think the other thing is, while they were looking to trade the middle infielders, they were receiving some trade offers for guys that they weren't necessarily prepared to trade.
Now, going back to the deal that fell through for Zach Cozart potentially going to Seattle, what was it about Segura that maybe appealed to Seattle more than Cozart? Was it just a thing where it was presented to them and they took it, or do they like Segura more than Cozart?
Well, I don't know the nuances of that deal, other than the fact that a lot of very young, talented people went back and forth. I mean, Ketel Marte and Taijuan Walker, excuse me. So I know there must have been other people in the trade. So I don't know what prompted Seattle to get Segura or what the Reds were asking for in Cozart. We never did hear how far those talks got, but Cozart is an attractive option just because he has only a year left and he's not making a lot of money before he has to go to free agency. And maybe Seattle wanted something a little bit more long-term. Who knows?
Now, when you look at, Cozart as opposed to Phillips, I know Cozart is younger than Phillips. Phillips, of course, in the back nine of his career, if that's how you want to put it. What kind of a market do you think is there for a guy that, you know, has a track record, is still putting up numbers, but youth is not on his side right now?
For Cozart?
For Phillips.
Oh, excuse me. Not, I mean, the problem with Phillips is so multi-layered. Is number one, he's making $14 million. Actually, number 1A above that is that he's got a no-trade clause. So any deal that does come up, he has to approve. And then you have the $14 million. Then you have the fact that he's almost 36 years old in June. And then you throw in the fact that he's not quite the second baseman he once was. He still makes him a flashy, nice defensive play, but he's not one of the top 10 defensive second basemen, and offensively he doesn't hit for power anymore. He's pretty much a singles to somewhat of a doubles hitter. So it's really tough to find a good fit. The Angels just got Espinoza, and they're going to put him at second base. That may have been the one fit for Cozart, for Phillips there. But I do know that the Angels and Reds never talked about even moving Phillips that way. So it's they might be tough. They might be having to go into the season with both of those guys and then trying to find a place for Jose Peraza to play. That's the whole reason why they're looking to move one of these guys, is that they can give their young 22-year-old an opportunity to play every day. They feel like he's good enough to do that. And now they might be faced with a situation where they have to take away playing time from 2 to 4 regulars so they can wedge Peraza into the lineup.
Having known Brandon Phillips as you have for a number of years and knowing his personality, I know with some guys it's going to be kind of a tough sell to say, hey, you know what, we've got a younger guy, you know, we need to get him some playing time, which therefore means your playing time decreases. Again, knowing him, and you've got a look on your face, knowing him as you do, is this going to be an awkward situation with him if he remains a Red into 2017?
In a word, yes.
Okay.
I think, yes, I think it won't go over well. I will give Phillips a lot of credit. He likes to play. He does not like to come out of games. He does not like to sit out. He broke his hand in July, was hit by a Jose Fernandez pitch. I think he missed one day or maybe 2 days, but he did not miss any other days after that. He wanted to play. Actually, I take it back. He didn't miss a day.
After breaking his hand,
he did not miss any time. He got drilled by a Noah Syndergaard fastball in the hand in April of the past season, and he took a ball off the shin. He missed a couple of days. He does not like going on the DL. He once came back from thumb surgery after like 5 weeks, you know, a couple seasons ago. So I give him credit that he does not want to give up time if he doesn't have to, and obviously it might be tough for him to be told he may have to sit out. They haven't told him that yet. I mean, right now, Brian Price and Dick Williams are talking about Peraza, if nothing changes, playing 4 days a week, and they can put him at shortstop. They can put him at second base, left field, or center field. So you take those four regular guys, and they may have to either move people around or have a guy sit for a game and then figure it out.
And like you said, it's a tough kind of balancing act, because you love guys who are gamers. You love guys who want to be in there and play through pain, through injury, through, you know, who knows what. But at the same time, given the situation with that the franchise is in with these young guys who have to get in there, it could be awkward. So we'll see what happens in 2017 where Brandon Phillips is concerned. Mark, moving on to the pitching side of things, we were commenting before we hit the airwaves here that the Reds have gotten some calls on guys like Straley and DeSclafani. Any progress or anything to report there, or just a bunch of smoke?
I think it's one of those things where they aren't really calling anybody untouchable. They're willing to listen on offers, and I think what they ended up encountering, especially in a weak starting pitcher free agent market, that starting pitchers were in demand, and there's two of them there that demonstrated some pretty good success last season. And both of them are under club control for four more years, which makes them even more attractive, especially DeSclafani. Mm-hmm. So I think what they did was they listened, and they made sure that the clubs knew they were going to ask for the world. And so far, it doesn't sound like there's been any hits. I know the Rangers in particular were after not only DeSclafani and Straley, but also were interested in Billy Hamilton. So the Reds apparently asked for a lot back, and they haven't found a match yet. I would think the Reds would, unless they were blown away, would not trade any of those guys, because even though they are rebuilding, these were three pieces, especially DeSclafani and Hamilton, that were expected to be part of the team when they came around again. And the Reds are also so short on dependable starting pitching. They have a lot of young kids. If they trade Straley or DeSclafani, they really don't have anyone to fill in those innings, and I think that would be a big mistake, especially since they're looking for a veteran starter possibly for the rotation, and it would cost a lot more to go sign somebody than to keep the guys they already have.
Yeah, I think those are guys that you build around, given the state of the franchise right now, unless you are completely blown away. They're offering four Mike Trouts or something.
Right.
You keep a guy like Anthony DeSclafani. Can you see a guy like him that nicknamed Disco, which I love, one of the best nicknames in baseball, can you see a guy like him becoming a true bona fide number one next season?
I could see him being a number one for the Reds, but I don't see him. He doesn't profile as a typical number one. He's not the power, you know, Syndergaard kind of guy that was 98. He's more of a consistent, steady guy. But he's also got the consistency to go seven innings every time or eight innings. He threw his first complete game shutout last season. So he's definitely, if he's healthy, he's definitely capable of being a 200 inning, dependable, potential all-star pitcher. Whether it's an ace remains to be seen, but they definitely have a good pitcher that they don't want to give up so easily.
To begin to wrap up here, Devin Mesoraco has been pretty vocal in saying, I'm not only going to be back in 2017, I'm going to be the number one guy. Thoughts on that?
He says it, and you know, his rehab's going well. Tucker Barnhart, who would be the number two guy, believes that Devin should be the number one guy because if he's healthy, he can hit 25 homers. But after 39 games over the last two seasons, a surgery on each hip and a left shoulder surgery, it's easy to be skeptical. He's going to have to go out and prove it on the field that he can do it. I think what they're planning on doing is maybe some sort of hybrid. They don't expect him to catch 140 games. Mm-hmm. They're going to have to come up with a way to get him enough playing time, but also not bury him so he doesn't get hurt, and then see what he does. And if he gets better and feels better, they can keep using him. But right now they got Barnhart as a guy that they can fall back to, which is he proved he could be an everyday catcher, and they're looking the market for maybe a third catcher just in case they have some extra depth.
Yeah, if nothing else, they've got depth behind the plate, certainly between a healthy Mesoraco, presumably, and Tucker Barnhart. We saw what he did last season. Mark, if there's one thing, you know, under the Reds' Christmas tree, there's something you want to see them do, something you really want to see them, a way they can improve the team right now, immediately, what do you think it could be?
That's a good question. I really, I don't, I know Reds fans obviously would like them to go out and sign a big time, you know, player with a lot of, you know, for a lot of money, but that's not going to happen. I think what they really just need to do is find a way for Jose Peraza to play every day. Maybe find a reliever that can supplement with what Jose Raisel Iglesias and Michael Lorenzen are doing. They definitely are planning on some sort of kind of in the mold of what the Cubs and Indians and Dodgers did in the postseason, some sort of multi-tiered, multi-closers format where lots of different relievers can pitch. And maybe the relievers get, you know, fewer outings but more innings. So I think Reds fans will, even though you don't want to go out and build your team around your offseason campaign around, they added a bullpen guy, but that's what they kind of need right now. And I think as long as they don't spend too much or give up too much, I think that's not much. You know, that's a pretty okay ask.
It'll be an interesting few weeks for the Reds. And, Mark, where is lunch going to be today in New York City?
Well,
a lot of options.
Yeah, I was so hungry after my delayed flight and my long cab ride. I grabbed a slice of pizza right before I came here.
Okay.
So I crushed that and now figure out. Of course, I got the black and white cookie.
Yeah.
That's a big time New York thing. I have to do that every time I come back.
Yep.
And so I'll figure out dinner. I'll improvise.
There you go. Well, like I said, no shortage of options here in New York City as far as food and adult beverages go. Mark Sheldon, great to have this little one-on-one chat. We'll hopefully do it again soon. In the meantime, Matt Wehmeyer signing off for MLB.com Extras Cincinnati Reds.
MLB.tv Premium, the number one live streaming sports service, is celebrating 13 years. Watch every out-of-market regular season game live or on demand in true HD. Real-time highlights, live look-ins, pitch tracking widget, and more. MLB.tv Premium includes a free At-Bat 15 subscription. Watch live baseball on over 400 mobile and connected devices. Watch at home, in the office, or on the go, every night, on every device. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Visit MLB.tv for details.